If you've got your Bible with you, I trust you have, turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus and the chapter 16. Comes to harvest times, and preachers tend to go for the well-known texts of Scripture, and there are a few in the Bible that are preached every harvest time, and we speak about the harvest of the land. But I want to speak about the harvest of heaven tonight. The harvest of heaven, the bread that fell from heaven. And so take a little look at it tonight, take it from a different angle. We'll read of it from Luke chapter 16. We're going to read from the verse 1, quite a lengthy portion, so we'll read through it as quickly as we can, but carefully, it is God's word. Exodus chapter 16 and the verse 1. They took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came on to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man. According to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and see that ye will see. That which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they let it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for tomorrow is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. The Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day one bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof Manna. And it was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. If you go down to the verse 35, we read, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. We trust that God will bless the reading of his word to each of our hearts this evening for his own name's sake. It's always profitable to have the word of God in your hand just to make sure that the preacher is speaking the truth. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 16 and we'll bow briefly in a word of prayer to seek the Lord's blessing and his anointing upon the preaching of the gospel tonight. Father, we thank thee for these hymns that we've been singing collectively as a congregation. We thank thee for the messages and songs speaking of the love of Christ. Oh God, bless them to each of our hearts this evening. But thou hast ordained through the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe. And our Father, we pray now that you would come and bless the preaching and the ministry of thy word. Give help to this preacher, Lord. Thou knowest his needs both physically, mentally, and spiritually. And oh God, we thank thee that thy grace is sufficient. And so our Father, we pray that you would come and fill him with the Holy Ghost, but oh God, let none be glorified, but Christ we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know the background of this story, I'm sure. The children of Israel, they had been slaves in Egypt now for 400 years. But after the 10 plagues, God had wonderfully led them out and delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh and away from the land of Egypt. And you remember how God had brought them through the Red Sea on their way to the Promised Land. And even there at the Red Sea, they experienced, they saw what God could do. But it wasn't long after the crossing of the Red Sea and their exit out of Egypt, it wasn't long until God's people were murmuring and complaining about things unto Moses. I suppose we can complain about God's people murmuring and complaining today. It's nothing new. For whenever we go back into the book of the Exodus, even whenever God done them good and brought them out of Egypt, they were still murmuring and complaining. But here they were, and they're complaining unto Moses. Moses, he had to take the brunt of it. For after only 3 days, as they journeyed through the wilderness, they were thirsty. It was hot, it was dry, and they were thirsty. They had no water. And when they came to a place called Marah, where there was water, when they tasted of it, they couldn't drink of it because the water there was bitter. So in Exodus chapter 15 and the verse 24 we read, and the people murmured against Moses saying, what shall we drink? And at that time, Moses, he cried unto the Lord. You see the difference? When there was a problem, the people murmured and complained unto Moses. But what did Moses do? He didn't retaliate against the people, but he prayed. And he cried unto the Lord. And he laid the situation out before God. And God told Moses what to do. Told Moses to cut down a tree and to cast it into the water. And when Moses did, the water was made sweet. Can I tell you that tree represents the cross? And you know, in times in life, When we have troubles and trials and problems, so often we're like the people instead of being like Moses. We murmur and we complain and we criticize and condemn everyone and anyone, and whoever stands in front of us gets the sharp edge of the tongue. Instead of being like Moses, bringing it to Christ and bringing it to the cross. You see, for if we bring our problems to the cross, if we bring our sin to the cross, then the answer is there. Oh, listen, God's people, let me speak to you a wee moment. Try praying instead of murmuring. You'll find that God answers prayer. But after that, they moved on to Elam. From Marah, they went to Elam. The Bible tells us that at Elam there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. Then after they'd spent time at Elam, they made their way into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And once again, God's people, they forgot what God had done for them at the Red Sea. They forgot what God had done for them at Marah. And once again, they doubted the sufficiency and the faithfulness of God. And once again, we read in Exodus chapter 16 in the verses 2 and 3, and the whole congregation probably started off with a handful. But that murmuring, that critical spirit soon spread throughout the whole congregation. So that we find here in chapter 16, verses 2 and 3, that the whole congregation is murmuring. And let me say tonight to God's people, don't you be the one to begin the murmuring and complaining. Don't you set the spark, be the spark that sets the church on fire, criticizing and condemning and finding fault. Rather be the one that sets the church on fire praying. But it says the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat to the full, for ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. The people of God, they murmured and they criticized and condemned Moses. They said, Moses, it's your fault. You're the one. They forgot it was God that led them out. They blamed Moses. They said, you brought us out. But it was the Lord. The people of God, they murmured and complained. But once again, in spite of all their criticism and their murmuring, God undertook for them. In spite of their criticism, in spite of their condemning, God in his mercy, he shut his ears and he undertook for them. For the Lord rained bread from heaven for them in the morning. And if that wasn't enough, in the evening, God sent the quails. Some believe the quails were a type of bird. Others think that they were a locust. It doesn't really matter. But God gave them bread in the morning and flesh in the evening. Either way, God gave them the sustenance that they needed. Manna in the morning, flesh in the evening. God met in a most marvelous of way the needs of his people. And let me say for a little moment, child of God, maybe you're here this evening and you're anxious, you're worried, you're wondering. We're on the mouth of winter, the cold winds are setting in. Maybe there's an old dear lady here tonight. Maybe there's an old man tonight and you're on the pension and you've nothing else and you're afraid, you're wondering how you're going to get through the winter. Maybe times are difficult. Maybe there's someone here and there's a wee family and finances are stretched and you're worried how you're going to get through. Listen, keep trusting God. Keep trusting God. His faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, my Father, keep trusting God, for God will supply our need. Sometimes in the most marvelous and unexpected of ways. I haven't time tonight, but I could go back to student days when God met the need at the very moment in the most marvelous of ways. One example was,
I went to a presbytery meeting one night, just not long into the church in Auchnacloy. It was small, coming up to Christmas. We hadn't very much. Certainly hadn't enough to do. Went to the presbytery meeting, and a wee man says to me, "Geoffrey, come on, a wee minute." Brought me to the side. He put his hand into his pocket, and he reached me out an envelope. He says, "Brother, the Lord has led me to give you that." That day, the exhaust had fell off the car. I'd got it welded to hold it together. I didn't know the man. But he says, "Brother, the Lord has led me to give you that." I thanked him, put it in my pocket, and went home. My wife was sleeping. It's always a dangerous thing to waken the wife out of her sleep, but I did that night. And there was £400 in the envelope, spread it on the bed. She says, "What's wrong?" She says, "Lorna, the man gave me that tonight." She says, "What?" She says, "Where did you get that?" She wakened. Show a woman money, she'd waken. You know, she says, "Where'd you get it?" She says, "Wee man, give it to me." "Who was he?" She says, "I don't know." She says, "Where is he from?" She says, "I don't know." So she says, "You're telling me that a man that you don't know, you don't even know what church he goes to, he gives you that?" She says, "He did." Listen, keep trusting God. God will meet the need in the most marvelous and unexpected of ways at times that you never dreamed of. Now, the account of how God did supply the needs of his people at that time in the wilderness, it has always been a matter of controversy. It has attracted a lot of attention about the manna. And there's generally three different views that are taken. And the first one is denial. We'll not dwell on it. Some people, they deny that the manna ever fell. They deny that this miracle ever happened. They maintain that it's just fantasy, that it never happened in reality. But sure, same people say the same thing about all the miracles in the Bible. And their motto is, if you can't explain it, then deny it. So we'll just leave it with them. There's some that just deny it outright. But then there's another aspect that is taken, another position that's taken. It's called dilution. You have denial and then you have dilution. And some believe that there was no real miracle, but they say that the people gathered a substance that was produced by a tamarisk manifera tree that grew in abundance all over that area. One man, he wrote a book back in 1483 about that area, and in the book he spoke about the bread of heaven, which the monks and the Arabs would gather and bake and preserve and sell to strangers who had passed that way. And in the book, this man explains how this substance fell from the tamarisk manifera tree, how the substance fell every morning, and so forth and so on. And his explanation does fit the miracle. And it is a description of the manna which God rained from heaven. And so they say that the manna that we read of in the Bible is really the substance of this tree, tamarisk manifera tree. They say that is what happened. And so they dilute the miracle, and they try to explain it away physically. But the third position that is taken is a position of defense. You have denial, dilution, and then there's a position of defense. And a sincere German, a Christian author, who acknowledges the bread of heaven that the previous man spoke of, this German author, he has calculated that there would have been at least 2 million people to be fed in the wilderness. And if each of them took an omer, as God had said, which is about 6 pints, if each of them took an omer of bread, then that means that there would have been 12 million pints of manna every day that was needed. And just to put it simply and try to illustrate it for you, that would have been 300 lorry loads each day, with each lorry carrying 15 tons of manna. That's the amount, roughly, that would have been needed. 300 lorry loads every day carrying 15 tons of manna. Now listen, folks, that went on day after day, morning after morning, for 40 years in the wilderness. It was nothing else but a miracle of the mighty hand of God. God worked the miracle for his people every day for 40 years. A faithful God. God had led them out of Egypt. God had promised that he would bring them into the promised land. God had brought them out, and so it was incumbent upon God to keep them. Not only to keep them, but to provide for them. And God did so in the most marvelous of ways. But in the provision of the manna, the bread in the wilderness, I believe that we have a wonderful picture of God's provision of the bread of salvation. And so tonight I want us to consider God's manna of salvation. Now, firstly, we see that the manna, it was divinely provided. In Exodus chapter 6 and the verse 4, after the people had murmured and complained against Moses and Aaron, we read, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain." The Lord said it. He says, "I will. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my way or no." We have God's provision, man's responsibility. It's the same of the gospel. Man, God has provided salvation for you. But it is your responsibility to repent of your sin and to accept Christ as your Savior. But God provided the manna. Moses and Aaron must have been terribly frustrated with the people and with their circumstances as well. If it affected the people, well, Moses and Aaron, they were men as well. It maybe affected them also. Their stay at Elim, where the 12 wells had been, had it been a good time. But it had quenched the thirst of the people. But that time was just followed by problems. No doubt at Elim, the wells, 12 wells, supplying the needs of 2 million people, the wells soon run out. But not only 2 million people, but the animals as well. The water in the wells wouldn't have lasted an awful length of time. But not only that, the shelter of 70 palm trees wasn't sufficient to cover 2 million people. And so after a short time of blessing in Elim, the people would have been getting tired, animals would have been listless, children would have been crying, parents would have been frustrated, they'd have been resentful, bitter, and so they were complaining about Moses and Aaron, complaining about things. But just in time, God stepped in to calm the troubled waters again. He did so at Marah. Now God does the same again. Steps in just in time to calm the troubled waters. The Lord comes with the answer to their problems. At Marah, he said, "Cut down a tree and cast it into the waters." But now God says, "Behold, I'll do this. I'll do it." He says, "I will rain bread from heaven," and he did. Oh, listen. God always has an answer to our problems. But that night and every night for 40 years, the manna, the bread of heaven, fell like snow. It was like a snowstorm until the whole camp was covered with the manna. And in the morning when the sun arose, that manna would have shone with amazing pureness. You see, it came from heaven. It was an amazing pureness and a beauty about it, and the sun would have glinted off it. Ah, but it was beautiful looking, but there was also an abundance of it as well. And in the morning, with curiosity, I'm sure they went out from their tents and they looked at this strange thing on the ground, glinting with pureness, and I'm sure that they took of it and they began to taste it. They tasted the bread of heaven, and my, it was good. It was very good. It tasted like wafers that are made with honey. Can I tell you something? What God provides is always the best. What the devil gives, it tastes good for a while, but then it's a poison in the mouth. But what God gives is always the best. We think of the wedding feast at Cana. It was the best that God provided. But what a type of the manna of salvation, the bread of salvation, the gift of salvation provided by God. It was planned by God in eternity past, planned by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost in eternity past. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, God sent forth His Son, and Christ came into the world as a little babe in Bethlehem. He came to die upon the cross of Calvary. He came to save His people. He came to shed His blood that our sins might be forgiven. And God sent His Son, and Christ died on the cross that you might be saved tonight. That you might be born again. That you might be redeemed from your sin and redeemed from your condemnation. John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Christ said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." God sent His Son to save us. Christ came to save us. Well, listen tonight. Let me tell you this. You cannot earn your salvation. You cannot buy it, you cannot purchase it, because Christ has already bought. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't buy it, you can't purchase it, you can't earn it. Tonight it's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. God sent His Son. Listen, God sent His Son to save. Christ went to the cross, He suffered, He bled and died. He bore the sins of many in His own body upon the tree. His visage was marred more than any man's. Why? He shed His blood. Why? That you might be saved. Oh, tonight, if you're not saved, I plead with you. Repent of your sin. The harvest is past, the summer is ended. And you're maybe here tonight, you're not saved. Oh, tonight, if you're not saved, repent of your sin and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. As the psalmist says in Psalm 34 in the verse 8, he says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." But you say in your heart, and the devil says to your mind, you say, "What about my sin? My sin? My sin?" You say tonight, "Jeffrey, you don't know what I have done, and I don't. And I don't want to." That's between you and God. But can I tell you something? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He is able to save unto the uttermost all them that will come unto Him by faith. The manna was divinely provided, and it's provided for you tonight. Will you taste and see? Will you come tonight and repent of your sin and accept Christ on this harvest time, be gathered in to the family and fold of God? Will you be saved? But not only was it divinely provided, the manna was personally accepted. In Exodus chapter 16, in the verse 4, the Lord had told Moses what He would do to provide for the people. Indeed, the Lord told Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day." The Lord would provide the manna, but the people had to go out and gather it up for themselves, that they might take it and eat of it and live. And that's what they did. In verse 17 we read, "And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less." But I want to look at this a little bit closer, and I want the men folk tonight to notice something here. That it was the men who'd done the gathering for His family. In verse 16 we read, "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." Every man was responsible for his own family to gather the manna to provide for his family. And so if the man didn't go out and gather the manna, if the man didn't provide for them, if he didn't gather the manna up, then his family would have perished. But look at what it says in verse 21. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. The men every morning, they went out and they gathered up enough for himself and also for those who were in his tents. He gathered for himself and for his family as well. And brethren, I want to challenge you tonight. I want to ask you tonight, are you gathering up at the throne of God every morning for yourself and for your wife and for your family? Or do you let them go out and perish? When it comes to the prayer meeting, do you send the wife out or do you go out? Now you have a wife and a family, if God has blessed you, don't leave the responsibility to the wife. The men went out and they gathered up the manna. Listen, brethren, spend time before God every morning and every evening. Make the time, take the time. But gather up the manna for your children and for your wife. The men, they were to gather it up. They were to gather up the means or the manna for everyone that was in his tent and under his care. But notice this, that when he brought the manna home, when he brought it back to the tent, each of them had to take of it personally, and they had individually to eat of it themselves. It was no good to them. The father could gather it up, he could bring it into the tent, but it was no good to them unless they took of it and ate it. Young and old had to take the manna, and they had to eat of it personally, or else they would perish and die. The father could only gather up the manna for the family, but they had to take of it and eat of it personally and individually. And so be it with regards the manna of the gospel. So be it with regards the manna of salvation. Can I say to you, you've got to come to Christ personally and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. No one else can do that for you. We can preach the gospel. We can urge you. We can plead for you. We can pray for you. But listen, you have got to come. This is man's responsibility. God's sovereignty, man's responsibility now. You have got to come, as I've said before, and repent of your sin and take of Christ. Take and eat and live. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. What's the alternative? You can reject him, but if you reject him, you'll lose your soul in hell for all eternity. For them that deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father. Isn't that fair? Isn't that fair now? If you reject Christ, well then it's only but right and it's only but fair that on the day of judgment he rejects you and your soul be lost in hell forever. God has provided the manna of salvation. You've got to accept it personally. Will you do it? Will you accept Christ? Notice something more about the manna. It was wonderfully sweet. In Exodus chapter 16 and the verse 31, we read this about the manna. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. But also in Psalm 78 in the verses 23 and to 25 we read, though he commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. The manna was actually the food of the angels. The psalmist tells us that it was the corn of heaven. It was that which the heavenly creatures, the cherubim and the seraphim, it's that which they ate. It was like honey. It was wonderfully sweet. Again, we read in Numbers 11 and the verses 7 and 8, and the manna was like coriander seed, and the color of thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. It was sweet, it was refreshing. You see that word angels in Psalm 78 in the verse 25? That word can also be translated in the original as strong or mighty. It's also used for the interpretation of princes. nobles. I tell you, the manna which they ate in the wilderness, it was fit for the angels, it was fit for princes and nobles. It was good, it was very good. It was as sweet as honey. It was refreshing as fresh oil. It was pleasant, it was refreshing. It was the food of the angels. It was the food of nobles and princes. But can I tell you something? It was nothing. It was nothing compared to the manna of salvation. How many are satisfied by the pleasures of the world that only last for a season? How many are satisfied with the pleasures of sin which are here now but gone in the morning? Momentary pleasures which satisfy only for a night but bring heartache and sorrow and misery, not only to the life but to the home. When the morning comes, my, what regrets, what sorrow, what pain. But listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Listen to it. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Can I tell you what the world gives satisfies for a moment? But the manna of salvation will satisfy for a lifetime, and it's good for eternity. If you're not saved tonight, you can't understand what we're talking about, for you haven't experienced it yet. But the psalmist invites you, and so do I, taste and see. Ah, man, the Lord's good. I tell you, it's good to be saved. It's good to be born again. I tell you what's good. It's good when the night is over to lay your head on the pillow and to know that no matter what the night brings, death or life, it's well with your soul. Can you lay your head on the pillow tonight at peace? If not, accept Christ. As this world, they've tried their broken cisterns, but the waters fail. And even as you stoop to drink the mock you as you will, now none but Christ can satisfy. He'll satisfy you if you'll only come and accept him. It was divinely provided, it was personally accepted, it was wonderfully sweet, it was gloriously sufficient as well. The manna that they gathered every morning and the quails that they gathered every evening sufficed. It was enough to meet the need of the people. It was enough to feed them for 40 years. I want you to notice something more. In verse 23 we read, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe or boil that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And so we read here that they were to bake it and they were to boil it. In Numbers chapter 11 in the verses 78 tells us a little more about the preparation and what they did with the manna. It says, and the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills and beat it in a mortar. So it was boiled, a seed that was ground. It was beaten. And then it was baked in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. The manna that was gathered, it wasn't eaten raw. It was baked. It was beaten. It was crushed. It was baked. That reminds us of Christ. Well, I'll tell you where that brings us to. Well, that brings us to the cross. Brings us to Calvary. What a picture of the Savior, the one who provided the manna of salvation, the one who is the bread of heaven, who said, I am the bread of life. For Christ, they took him, they arrested him in the garden, they beat him, they bruised him. He was crushed by man, but he was crushed by God, he was crushed by our sin. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Isaiah says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. His visage was marred more than any man's, and his form more than the sons of men. He was crushed. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was ground upon the cross. He bore the wrath of God for our sin. But can I tell you this? His death is gloriously sufficient for the needs of every soul tonight. Gloriously sufficient for the needs of every man, for every woman, for every boy, and for every girl. His blood is sufficient to cleanse us from all our sins. As I said before, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. When Christ hung upon the cross, just before he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, he cried, "It is finished." What did he mean? What did he mean, "It is finished"? He meant that he had paid the debt of our sins in full. Redemption was finished. A salvation had been purchased. And today, you can be saved tonight. You can be born again. You can be made ready for heaven. Your sins can be forgiven. Your soul can be cleansed. You can be redeemed. If you'll only repent and call upon the Lord to save you. And the manna was sufficient every morning. The quails were sufficient at night as well. Never wonder where the quails come from? The manna came from heaven. That question's answered. Where did the quails come from? I'll tell you very, very briefly. This is what I read anyway. I wasn't there, so I don't know, but I'll tell you what I read. It said that the quails in the summertime, they'd have been down in Egypt, but it got very hot. The swallows leave here because it gets too cold and they emigrate, but they say the quails, because of the heat, they would have emigrated to cooler climates. And some of them took one path, some of them took another path. Some of them went up through Spain, I think it was. But some of them went up through the path of the Red Sea. By the time they got from Egypt to the Red Sea, they'd have landed to drink and to rest. And the scripture tells us that God sent a great wind. And so God sent the wind across the Red Sea. And it caught the quails, and it blew them into the camp of Israel. And the Bible tells us that it went a day's journey that road, and a day's journey that road, and a day's journey that road, and a day's journey that road. And the quails, if you work it out, were stacked up about 3 feet high. They were sufficient every evening. And God's people did not want. I tell you, when God gives, he gives pressed down and overflowing. And I don't care what your sin is tonight. I don't care what your history is tonight. The grace of God is sufficient to save your soul. The blood of Christ can cleanse you. He can make you whole. It's divinely provided. Will you at this harvest time personally accept it? Or will you reject Christ and go on to perish eternally? Oh man, be wise. Lady, be wise tonight. And have done with sin. And come to accept Christ this evening as your own personal Savior. We're going to bow in prayer. I apologize for going on too long. But let not the Spirit of God depart. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now, tonight, is the night of your salvation. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word and the challenge of the gospel. Lord God, we pray tonight that you would speak to hearts. Search out those that are not saved. Challenge those that have gone astray and backslidden. And O God, tonight we pray that they'll come and feed of the harvest of heaven. That they'll come and accept Christ as our Savior. Speak on while the voice of man is silent. And O God, we pray to give no rest or no peace until each one has made their peace with God. Part us now in thy fear and with thy blessing. Take us our different ways in safety. We would ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.